Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning to everybody who's in the remote participation rooms, the telephone bridges in the various language channels, and to those of you who are looking at the streaming. I must say, looking around the room here today, I'm wondering about the effectiveness of how long it's going to run. We might go through these slides terribly quickly. Trish has been in them before. The ALAC itself and the regional leaders and the at-large structure representatives who've been able to join us at this meeting have had the honour and the pleasure of a private debate and discourse on what the review committee is offering to the public in this workshop today. What we seem to be missing is masses of public. So I'm happy to play this any way you'd like, but I assume that at least to do due diligence to the process, we should go through some of the motions and you'll at least know what the responses will be because we've seen them all before. Over to you, Trish.
Oops. Thank you very much, Cheryl. There is one, before I start, and in fact, Marco is going to do the introduction for us. But before we do that, there is one important addition here, which is Kevin Wilson, ICANN's finance director. And in our private run-through, money and finance was quite important. And Kevin, whose ear I bent the other evening about, is there money to do some of this, has actually braved the group to come here. So I'm not so concerned that we don't have a house full. We've got the quality, if not the quantity, and to hopefully make it happen.
I have to say I'm here as an observer. Not
I think
in your actually personal capacity.
Anyway, thank you, Kevin.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Just to introduce myself to the person that are following at distance the meeting, I'm Marco Lorenzoni, Director of Organizational Reviews for ICANN. Can we go to the next slide, please? The first point I would like to make is about where we are in the process. I don't know who's running. Okay. Yeah. Okay. For the translator, I will try to speak more slowly. Okay. So where we are in the process. The ALAC Review Working Group has released its final report. Sometimes in these days I'm using the way of saying the final version of the final report. It has been an incredibly effective work. I'm a bit biased maybe on this, but that involved several consultations with the community. Just this morning we were commenting into another meeting devoted to interconnections between recommendations. We were commenting on the process of public participation to the review process, and I was saying we can put something under the heading maintenance on flight or learning by doing, but what we learned running different review processes is that the process that it was conceived at the beginning provides for time for public inputs, but this is not enough for the community which is under review. This is not enough for the committee under review. And starting from the ALAC review and then the other reviews that are running now, what the different working groups of the Structural Improvement Committee realizes that some further different methods are needed to involve the community into the discussion on the review mechanism and into the discussion about conclusions and recommendations. And this ALAC review has been the first time in the history of ICANN where so many interactions have been conducted and very fruitfully between reviewers, but particularly between the work of the working group and the community. And the same mechanism with the adaptation is now running for other reviews, like the ASAC review, the ARSAC review, and surely it's one of the lessons that we will keep in mind for the future. So coming back to where we are, publication of the final report, it's up. No public comments are asked at this moment because all the public comments phase are finished. and the Structural Improvement Committee, and Roberto Gaetano just joined us for this meeting. Roberto, as you know, is the chair of the Structural Improvement Committee, approved the final version of the ALAC report in its entirety. So all the recommendations are approved, and it voted to pass to the board for approval the report of the working group. With some indications. The first indication is, of course, to thank all the members of the working group for the excellent work they did. Second point, the staff should support the community in drawing a plan for implementation of the recommendations. This includes budgeting, this includes timeline, this includes priorities for the different actions to be implemented. This is another lesson that we learned from the past. When going to implementation of the GNSO, for instance, it was not so clear that it was needed to do a list of priorities, and everything went together to implementation. Learning by doing, once again, it will be extremely important for ELAC to work out a list of priorities and to consider very carefully also the budget implications of each different line of action that will be drawn from the recommendations. So the other request that the SIC, the Structural Improvement Committee, makes to the board is is an information, not a request. It's about the recommendation of two voting directors for at-large. The recommendation has been approved by the Structural Improvement Committee, but the Structural Improvement Committee requires the Board Review Working Group to consider this recommendation and its possible impact on the board size and composition. So it requires the Board Review Working Group to come with different scenarios for the implementation of this recommendation, with the three different hypotheses, with two voting directors as suggested, with one voting director, without voting director. So we need to have different scenarios in front of our eyes, and taking into consideration the recommendation of reducing the size of the board and therefore reconsider the composition, and keeping also in mind the possibility for having a different size and composition of the nominating committee. So this will go for further analysis to the board review working group. Having said that, I will pass to Tricia for a working, first of all, for a welcoming of a further member of the ALAC review working group, and then for a working through all the conclusions and recommendations of the working group.
Thank you very much, Marco. It's been an incredible journey over 17 months since the board first approved the working group and at the same time the appointment of the independent reviewer. And it's been a huge team effort as well. So in kicking off, I'd like the members of the working group to identify themselves. Unfortunately, not all are here. Carl Auerbach and Vittorio didn't come because this would have been the only purpose of the meeting, and it's a long way to Australia.
We've never noticed that.
But they're here in spirit. But the other members of the working group, I'm delighted, are here as they have been supporting this exercise throughout, and that's Harold, who's sitting very quietly for now. Thomas, equally, Nikwena, and Jean-Jacques. And we mustn't forget, sitting, I think, behind me still, Patrick Sherry, who is currently doing what might be done if we had a whiteboard, so that at the end, because this is my final job as chair of the working group, at the end I'd like to sum up what's on the whiteboard, which will include the financial actions as well, Kevin, so don't disappear. And also, Marco, who joined towards the end, wasn't here at the beginning, but has been a fantastic supporter, together with Nick. And in terms of the translations and the support work on that side, Nick has been fantastic as well. Although I'm going to do a quick run-through of the recommendations, and because most of you had a private view of these earlier, I'll do it much more quickly. But I hope then that the team, in this final time that we're together, will also come in and contribute. And I think the other thing, a lot of making it happen, which is the focus now, will be done by the gentleman on my right. So in handing the baton, which this meeting is handing the baton on, I'll be doing it that way and over there. So let's kick off this this final session. But as I say, it's been an absolute team effort throughout, and that team has included Cheryl, yourself, and at large in doing that. So I'm going to be marginally controversial, and those that had the private view saw it before, by actually kicking off with an extract from Henry Waxman's written opening statement at the Congress hearing on the oversight of ICANN on the 4th of June 2009. And Henry Waxman is extremely influential and a very important person. And his written statement and opening statement is on the web, so on the hearing page. But the second or third paragraph of that written opening statement actually said, as we review ICANN's capabilities and resources in relation to the effective and efficient operation of the domain name system, the very narrow thing that ICANN covers, we must not lose sight of how this organization, i.e. ICANN, affects 1.5 billion internet users worldwide. It is not just the registries, the registrars, the e-commerce providers, or government entities that have a stake in ICANN. Every person who relies on the internet for work, entertainment, study, or simply to manage a hectic schedule should care about this issue, i.e. the effective and efficient operation of the domain name system. And for those of you who may have listened to the whole of the hearing, which actually I did, this was a written submission, from time to time it made reference to how is the independence or the consumers represented on the board? Is ICANN just about making money and exploiting? But from time to time, there was the reference back, which I think is core, to this 1.5 billion and rising quickly users. And I think in the context of that statement, and I hope this statement actually can be referred to, I think that the recommendations are important not just for ALAC and at large, but for ICANN as well at this very important time. So, thank you. If we move on then to the recommendations, and the recommendations in the report cover one page. At the end, Patrick and I had to cheat a bit, and change the font size to get it onto one page, but it stayed on one page. So the first conclusion of the report, because the working group, really its mission and its remit is on two lines. The independent reviewer has to report as to whether it thinks that at large has a continuing purpose, and if so, what improvements are necessary. And the working group, in looking at that, has the same remit. So we unanimously had the view and came to the conclusion that indeed ALAC does have a continuing purpose with its key roles and objectives and purpose being there. One, to provide input on policy, advice on policy, and to make sure it's listened to provide input into ICANN operations and structure, that it's an important part of ICANN's accountability mechanisms. And my colleagues on the working group will confirm that with our absent colleague, Carl Auerbach, we actually had many discussions on this very important point, and that it is an organising, but an important focal point and organising mechanism for some of ICANN's outreach. So, yes, we strongly recommend and recognise that ALAC has a continuing purpose. In terms of organisation, we again unanimously were of the view that at large should be allocated to voting seats on the ICANN board. And in fact, with all of the debate and discussion, including around the JPA, including in the way that ICANN is evolving and moving forward, and including the increasing and rapidly increasing number of internet users that we're serving, in fact, I would think that this is an important recommendation for ICANN as well as for at large. I think it's a key and important part, and my colleagues agree on that. This current structure, and Cheryl, under your leadership, huge progress has been made, even in the during the 17 months.
Can't do it without them, Trish.
Indeed, but needs a team leader. But that structure should remain in place for now, but recognising that actually there is work to be done on that. Next slide. that there's an immediate priority and focus needed to the ongoing education and engagement of the ALSs and in getting them created. And I have to say, in my home country in the UK, we've still to do this. So I better actually take note of our own advice here.
We have to watch the due diligence on that one very, very carefully.
But in fact, in terms of the longer term goal, once the awareness and the education and the engagement has happened, then very much the focus on compliance. ALAC to develop its own strategic and operational plans as an integral part of ICANN's planning process, and developing cost models, accurate cost models for at large. But with ALAC making its own choice of the tools and the for the collaborative work it needs to do. Thank you. A few of the summary conclusions. In terms of the public comment period, 30 days, but capable extension to 45. And in fact, that already happened during the process, and I think, Cheryl, you found that to be helpful. Strengthening the translation and interpretation processes, but at the same time recognising that English, whether it's Australian English, American English, or plain English, is the working language for a large overall. In terms of the relationship with other ICANN entities, the recognition of ALAC being the representative body for at large, being the primary organisational home for the voice and concerns of the individual internet user. However, mindful that even at this point in time, there's 1.5 billion internet users and rising, that ICANN structure, its bottoms-up structure and the way it's organised, and this to be encouraged, offers the opportunity for individual users to participate in many ways in the ICANN process. And again, in terms of our absent friend Carl Auerbach, Carl was very keen that that should even include individuals that wanted to do it in their own way. But I think as ICANN moves into this important new phase with new CEO and its development, the recognition that the primary organisational home is at large working in cooperation and conjunction with others. And moving on to that, the next bullet, and this is obviously a recommendation, a suggestion, that actually there is developed a statement by the board, both recognising at large as the primary organisational home, mindful that there is competition now, which is very healthy, and also clarifying the relationship between ALAC and the GNSO user house. And the reason of putting that in was to be helpful. It wasn't to be controversial or difficult, or it was to be helpful, because if one wanders around or walks around amongst the 1,000-plus attendees here in Sydney and asks the question of what's the relationship, what's the difference between ALAC and the GNS user house, I think you'd get 1,000 different replies and probably one or two that might be accurate. So I think it would be very helpful to consider that. And the other next recommendation, which we believe is very important, is developing the mechanism for hearing the voice of the consumer organisations that represent individual users, and that their input is taken into account into the policy process. And I think there we have it. Go to the next one. Sorry, my news. So there, in terms of striving, I'd pick that up in the earlier part, but ALAC itself needs to have the visibility, and I know that this is already in action, to provide that policy advice, and that the processes should be strengthened such that it's more a requirement than a wish, and that there's actual feedback to ALAC on how that's been received and used. And that, again, I think is an important recommendation there. So if we could just, as we discuss, and before going back to Marco, who's going to talk about the practicalities of what next, go back to that Waxman statement and perhaps as a backdrop have that there. One more, just number four. Sorry? Yeah, perfect. The conclusions and the slides we've just been through are the results, and in 11 pitch type, went on one page, are the results of our work. I'd welcome very much that you raise any points you would like to, but also if my colleagues and team members might wish to add any points on that, particularly as that baton is going to Marco, but it's equally going to you to encourage that these recommendations don't go into a black hole, but actually do become a reality insofar as you think that they're wise. and that Kevin makes sure that there's adequate provision in the budgets to deal with it. So I intend now to speak if I'm spoken to or answer questions, but perhaps my colleagues might like to just say a few points. And Roberto, as Deputy Chair, you may want to as well. Roberto, would you like to kick off?
Thank you, Tricia, for this very accurate and complete presentation of the work done. I have a couple of points. The first is a remark. It's that this ALAC review happened at a time of having to take into account many other things which were occurring at the same time. A bit earlier or a bit later, but never mind. The board review, many technical things going on also in ICANN. So I think one of the challenges, and under your guidance, Tricia, I think we've really tried to address that challenge, was to make sure that any of the findings or the proposals of this working group were coherent, or at least were not crippled from the start by being visibly antagonistic with or contrary to the possible evolutions elsewhere, although we were never sure which those evolutions were, but at least some orientations. So that, I think, was a fairly difficult point, but it kept us on our toes because we really had to think of our little work in a broader context all the time, and you reminded us of that constantly, and thank you. The second point is something you brought up in one of your slides, which was to say in passing, and it was agreed that this will happen in the English language. True. I just wanted to underline that there again, if you put our work in the wider context of what is happening in the whole of ICANN, I think we should not forget that there is a general effort on the part of ICANN, and it's all its elements or constituencies to favor cultural diversity and therefore linguistic diversity. And I think that inevitably that will also create additional requirements or perhaps some pressure for us to take that into account as well. I'm not suggesting that tomorrow we should change to another main language. I'm simply saying that we should also be very attentive to that requirement as the community grows wider and more diverse. Thank you.
Me, would you like to just say a few words?
No, just a brief observation here. I think the recommendation really is leaning in the direction of how we will be able to get the 1.5 billion internet users more involved in the process. I think that's really in the background of that. And the rest of them are some particular mechanisms that are being put in place to help us achieve that. But the real thing is we would like that 1.5 billion to be part of and not only the policy process, but also attending to their own particular needs. And that's what I see as the main thrust behind the recommendations. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Nee. And Thomas, would you like to...
Let me just talk for you. I'll say a very few words here. I think overall the report speaks for itself, and I think that's really the best thing. And the only other thing I would add is that I personally am pretty pleased that there seems to be broad support from the community as a whole for the recommendation, including among the board. So I'm not particularly worried that these are not going to come to pass and we're going to, the results are going to go into a black hole. Though, of course, people need to pay attention and make sure that, things move along. But I'm pretty pleased overall with the way the whole process worked and the result we came to. Thanks.
Thanks, Thomas. Harold, would you like to, and then we'll come on to Roberto.
So, like Thomas, I'm happy to let the report speak for itself. I just note that, as the saying goes, this is not the end, and this is not even the beginning of the end. It might be the end of the beginning. So there's a lot of implementation work, and the working group quite deliberately left quite a few details to say, we're not saying how to do this. We're not even saying how to figure out how to do this. And sometimes because we had no idea, sometimes because we thought it was appropriate to let other parts of ICANN figure it out, like the ALAC. But lots of work ahead of you. Have fun.
Thanks, Harold. And Roberto, as deputy chair, but also you chair the board governance committee that put this working group together. Would you like to also make comments? Thank you.
Yes, first just a quick note. I used to chair the board governance committee that started this working group. I now chair the structural improvement committee, the SIC committee. that has inherited all these working groups. For the translators, when I say SIC committee, I intend SIC without a K. And in this wearing this hat of chair of the Structural Improvement Committee, I think that it is upon us in first place not to let, to make sure that this nice work that has been done by this working group doesn't fall into deaf ears. And I think that I can take the commitment to bring this forward. We are in the process right now of analyzing the different recommendations from the different working groups because there are some interactions between the work of different working groups. For instance, the recommendation of having voting members elected by ALAC, by at large, whatever the end result is going to be, whatever the election process is going to be, but has to be seen also in a relationship to the work of the working group, the board review working group, in terms of size of the board, but also in terms of function of the board, in the sense that there is not only an issue of size, but there is an issue of what different expertise, what different elements have to be brought to the board by the community and how. So we need to achieve a new, if we change one element of the participation to the board, for instance, by members that come from the at-large community, we need to revise the balance of the board anyway. In terms of what is the process, for instance, for bringing directors from the NOMCOM, the ALAC has a substantial presence in the NOMCOM. The people that the NOMCOM had also the function of making sure that the voice of the at-large community was coming to the board. If this is taken care in a more direct way, does this affect other parts of the organization? This is something that we don't have to lose sight. I'm not here saying that it necessarily does, but I think that one of the purposes of the committee that I chair is to make sure that those recommendations are all coordinated and not becoming conflictual. The second thing that I would like to say is that I'm particularly pleased with the work of this working group. The reason is that in the beginning, when we started the working group, when we started the review, some people in the community and some people also in the board were a bit worried or had mixed feelings about what this would have, what would have been the outcome, and what would have been the process. And somebody was fearing a much longer and much more controversial work. And I think that we were very well served by an excellent chair of the working group and by excellent members that, in my opinion, have the mix of expertise that all the members have brought from different parts of the community, different experiences, and different approaches. For sure, we can say that we're having followed a little bit of the discussion within the working group. I can surely say that the range of opinions in the working group was particularly wide, and I think that this was something, to be honest, that some colleagues on the board were fearing as a dangerous element. And on the other hand, I think that it is, in fact, one of the key of the success of the review and of the success of this working group, because now we can really see that the recommendations that come from this working group have taken into account very different points of views. And so at this point, I'm not expecting going with the interaction in the community, somebody who says, no, I was not represented in the working group or my views have not been taken into account. Although somebody will always come out with... I'd expect Jeff Williams to post comment that he was not... I don't know how many thousand members were not consulted. But besides this, I think that as a chair of the SIC, I had to acknowledge the tremendous work of this working group, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Roberto. On behalf of everyone, as I say, it was a real team effort. Perhaps there is a question that's coming from the chat room in terms of when the recommendation's likely to go to the board, but I think we can pick that up in the next part, which Marco's going to talk about, of the process and what next. And then, unless anybody's got any objections, I'd like to do that first before opening up for questions and comments, so that we know the recommendations, we know the next step and what happens next. And then in the time available, we can then have questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, next steps in part have been already introduced, discussed at the beginning of the meeting, right now also by Roberto. But just to recap the SIC approved report. By the way, I am the person who supports the SIC, so I am the SIC person. No idea. So, in any case, without the K,
You have no flu today.
The SIC is going to pass now to the board for approval and action. So the board is to discuss this issue here in Sydney. And as Roberto mentioned, the recommendation on voting directors requires some scenarios to be developed in order to see different possibilities. And finally, this alternative scenario will be developed by the Board of View Working Group. The Board of View Working Group is asked to develop these scenarios possibly by Seoul, in order to start a discussion at the community level on the different possible hypotheses. Surely by Seoul, no decision will be taken on this, because it's an important process. It's one of the historical processes in the life of ICANN, so it's better to devote all the needed time to this discussion and to participation also from the community on this point. Pending the board approval, what are the actions to be done? Well, first of all, the staff, and in particular the policy staff, so Nick, Matthias, and all the others from the policy staff who are supporting the ALAC, will interact with the community to think to four main questions. First, define priorities. Okay, we have recommendations. Let's try to prioritize them. Second, define the needed actions. So recommendations are, by their nature, generic, and Harald also commented on this. We didn't know how you can put to implementation some of those recommendations. Now it's your job. Now you can have fun in defining the lines of action. Lines of actions are indispensable, not only for the implementation of the recommendations as they are, but also in order to define the priorities. Lines of action mean define the resources that are implicated, that are involved, required for the development of the lines of action. Resources mean who does what. What is the role? What are the respective roles of ALEC, of at large, of the staff, of the board, of other supporting organizations? We cannot forget that one of the recommendations is specifically meaning to address the relations between ALEC and the other supporting organizations and advisory committees. In particular, the mechanism for which the recommendations issued by ALEC will be taken into account, and the kind of feedback that ALEC has to have in case the recommendations that are issued by ALEC will not be taken into consideration. So this will imply, surely, several lines of action that needs to be cross-checked and cross-analyzed with other supporting organizations and the board. Budget, as I mentioned, is one of the elements of the resources. And finally, to set timeline for the implementation of each of these lines of action. If we go to next slide, I think this is the kind of a summary that we need for the follow-up of our activities. Just a list of the recommendations, and then one by one, and we can start here now. We have more than half an hour available for thinking on this. We can start now to see which recommendations require action. Some of them will not require action, probably, like the voting seats in the board, because now it's under implementation, the development of the different scenarios. But all the others very likely will require action. So we have to identify all these actions. It will be a very wise idea, as I say, based on the exercise that can be started now, for the staff, for instance, sorry, to come up with a staff paper resuming the lines of action that come from these recommendations for further inputs from the community, for instance, or having any kind of interaction on this point. Involved actors, this is another element of the analysis that could be started now, and predecessors. What I mean by predecessor, it's something that will lead us to talk about priorities. Before, I don't know if you want to take the question from the participant from Chile now, or if you want to pass to this discussion and then take the questions at the end, as you wish.
I think it's probably good to get questions on everything, including yours, and then we can move, because this is the final opportunity for questions, because this baton is going over to you, but it will include questions on the implementation aspects. But when we had the private view of the report and discussion, there were a lot of points, including some on the financial side. And as we've got Kevin, I think that will be good, but we've also got the colleagues. So if there are no questions, we can then go straight back. So move forward.
Did you want to raise Javier's question?
What, in terms of the implementation time? I mean, this one?
Yep, yeah.
I think that, which was basically, when are the recommendations going to be considered by the board and implemented? I think you've covered that in your question.
Trish, if I may, I think I could pick up fairly safely on what Javier will then write back to us, and indeed is a burning question in many of our community's minds. Is this then what I heard this time was really, because of the linkage with the board review, consideration and community outcomes and all this is not going to happen before Seoul, but are we then to expect that the whole raft of recommendations are locked into one lump? Or is there a possibility that the board might consider, for example, some of its potential statements regarding the review to be separated from what we understand is an increasingly complex matter of voting board seats?
The board paper requires the board to approve all the recommendations from the ALEC review working group, to ask staff to work with the community to develop immediately a timeline for the implementation of all the recommendations that can be passed to implementation immediately. Sorry?
The idea is that correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea is that all the recommendations except for the element related to the board seats would go forward now, that on a parallel track, the board seat issue would be evolved.
You need a translation, but you say the same thing. No, but you get the same thing. I was in the meeting this morning on all the review process going together and how it could happen. And then one of the questions, obviously, is at the heart of this question of this interlinkage. It's the 2102 or one board seat, 01 or 2 board seat for ALAC, for at large. For ALAC, for at large. And that's very interesting, because when people talk about that, even people who know very well what is happening, who read everything and who know everything, they talk about ALAC board seat. No, I know that it's not the case, and or not yet the case. I personally, after listening discussion within at large and with other people in this morning meeting, I am really wondering if we need to open this ponder box amongst at large. I think it's maybe one of the subjects that it could be embedded in the proposal for a new board seat, and not to say that, okay, guys, we tell you what to do, but you need to decide how you will do it. We give you the responsibility to do it, but you have to ask for the money to do it, and so on and so forth. And for this specific topic, I really think, that's my personal point of view here, I really think that we need to have a decision taken with the number of seats and how those seats will be selected. Because my fear is that if it's not the case, we open an endless discussion amongst our members and we will be less efficient on policy issue. And we are here for what? To talk about policy issue, not to talk about how we organize. And I would like really very much to see that.
We're not taking questions now. I got the line up though. Okay, fine. One moment. We've got an order. I see Carlos. I see Adam. I see Howa. I see Vanda. And Evan. Sorry, you didn't. Well, tell me if Kevin's there.
Kevin's got his hand up. That's why he's trying to
see. I can't even see that up there.
That's
sorry.
Why
right. Kevin, seeing as we have you so rarely in our room, you get to be first cover for rank. You've got your hand up. Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you, Tricia, for taking my head to the trough and bringing me here. I appreciate that. This is helpful for me to plug in, and I just have a general question that, and really an offer that the finance, the cost estimating resources that we have will work with the staff and the working group, and I'm not sure exactly what the process is, but I'd like to put numbers to understand the impacts of each of those so that it fits in with the budget. So, for example, when it says improve or strengthen translation interpretation, that could be meaning that we just translate a day earlier. That's strengthening it, but I don't think that's what this means. I think it probably means something more substantial, so we need to quantify that more. So I appreciate that. The main point I wanted to make is appreciate you pulling me into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. It wasn't quite as painful as pulling you in to the trough, but I think we had a glass of wine in our hand, actually. But I do appreciate, and I think also in the discussion earlier in the week around this table, even things like, for example, engaging more the consumer organisations, which already staff are doing and have got results, all of that costs money and needs resource. So it's an awareness of what is needed for when you consider. So thank you for being pulled here.
Now, seeing as there's no order in the way hands go up, I did see Carlos before Evan, but who did have their hand up first in the chat room? Carlos? Go ahead, Carlos, and then Evan.
We have to use headphones now. We would have to use headphones. In relation to
that, many of them are now scrabbling. Would you mind seating? We'll have Evan, while everybody gets organised, might give us the opportunity to make the point. Of course, some people are always organised, Harold. I expect that of you. That I'm very concerned that the message is correct in what Vanda and Alan, who would be saying this in his own bat, and Sebastian put in as comments. It is the ALAC that at this moment primarily works in English. That's 15 people. It is not in any way to be read to be other than those 15 people. Translations is hugely important. We just want to make it really clear that we don't mix those things up. Okay, Evan, go ahead. Or are we all right then? We're ready? Okay, Carlos, then Evan.
Okay. Gracias. Thank you. In relation to the question of Javier, when he participated remotely, Javier is a regional leader in Chile, and he was doing the question of not only when this is going to be presented to the board, but also when the board thinks, and being Robert present here, when this could be implemented. In second place, another question is if we are going to be having this presentation in PowerPoint ready for academic presentation. Could we have it as academic presentations or university presentations?
The issue is I thought that that question was answered already, in the sense that we are going to we started, just to be more complete, we started already raising the issue of the membership in the direct elections to the board. We wanted to have a statement of principle from the board. This didn't happen at the last meeting, and so the issue was postponed. This having not happened, this statement of principle for the approval of direct election by ALAC and or at large, I think that the way that we are going to proceed is to go on with all the other recommendation, because we are not going to wait for that problem to be solved to send the things that to go forward with the things that on which we can have consensus immediately, and that particular issue is going to be picked up when in conjunction with the review of the board that that is expected to be roughly in Seoul.
Thank you. And it is important. Some things do bear repeating, because when we are working through interpretation and translation, a missed word makes a huge difference. Go ahead, Evan. Someone has... Just turn your...
Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to once again express my thanks to the committee. I think you've done an absolutely superb job at this. But my question is, and I guess this would be primarily for Roberto, but I'd like to hear from everybody else, could you sort of summarize the kind of feedback that you received from other constituencies to this report? Obviously, you've heard an awful lot from at large. I'd like to get some kind of a feel for the kind of input that you've received for the other parts of ICANN's community.
I can start a couple of things, but and then I'll pass it to Patrick. The general feeling is that this the interest that this review has generated in the other communities is goes at the same time as the growing importance that the at large has in the relationship of the other communities. In other words, if we go to the situation that we had a couple of years ago, where a lot of people were had serious doubts that the effort, the money that was spent in the at large had any. Had any return on would produce any return on investment. I think that now this this issue is behind us, and so there is in the review there is a general interest for what is ALAC and how the ALAC is going to evolve. I would say add also that a turning point has been definitively the at-large summit. The moment that the community has seen the variety, the complexity, the participation, the enthusiasm of the at-large at the summit. I've heard a lot of people having radically changed their point of view and being now much more positive. So this is this change of situation is reflected also in an interest in the review of the ALAC and an interest also on how the ALAC is going to evolve and what the contributions could be. Now, for the details of the comment, I'll give it to Patrick.
Thanks, Roberto. Evan, without going through all of the detail, the first thing I'd like to do is to point you to, I think it's Appendix 2 or 3 at the back of the report, which actually has a really detailed blow-by-blow description of all of the consultation and summaries of all of the public comment periods, summaries of the interactions we had at various ICANN meetings, and that's probably a really good place to start. It's either that brief conversation or a much longer one, and in the interest of time, we might take some other questions, and I'm happy to talk later if you'd like.
Thank you very much. I do note that Carlos had a two-parter. Something's getting feedback. It's not me. I've got everything. I've got far enough away. But I'd like now to recognise Hawa, then Adam, and come back to you, Carlos.
Sorry. Merci, Cyril.
Thank you. Yes, you might need to put your headphones back on. I would like to thank the whole committee for their excellent work. I don't have a question, but I would like to ask for a clarification. When you say that the public comment period has been extended to 30 years, is it from the time of translation or from the version that's available online? Just a clarification.
Participation, like to make a comment there?
I mean, I guess my answer is I'm not actually sure. And that's the kind of thing that the PPC needs to sort of formalize because, you know, some of this stuff is still a little bit of a work in progress because, you know, we're still working on translations. We don't have them consistently and so forth. But the point is well taken that there needs to be clarity there.
Go ahead, Trish.
Just responding in a very precise way because I asked a question almost related to that. In true bylaws speak, if John Jeffrey were here, I think it's when it's posted in English. I think we internally, which probably means I don't think we've breached the bylaws, but we maybe made exceptions, for this exercise, we were quite generous in the timing. But actually, I think under the bylaws, the posting is when it's done in English. Now, hopefully, perhaps Public Participation Committee can look into this.
Yeah. Go ahead, Robert.
I think that my memory fails here, but I would ask Nick for confirmation. There has been a case already in which we have extended a comment period to wait for the translations to be available. But anyway, whichever the case, I think that what I can say is that we hear the message and we will make sure that we don't close the comment period and we don't take any decision until we don't have sufficient time for people who are operating in a language different than English to provide us with full comment. We will find ourselves in a situation in which we provide translation and people who will use the translation as a basis for their comments will have a period for commenting that is shorter than the minimum required by the bylaws. So I'm going to take this commitment that even if it's not now formalized in our procedures, that is to me an obvious way to proceed.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to ask Nick because he's got a clarification point, and then Marco, did you need to come in before the questions from Adam and back to Carlos? It was to that point. We'll then to you then. Go ahead.
It was at this point because I think it's very important and it connects to what I was saying before. I mean, we need to break down the recommendations into lines of action. This is precisely a line of action. So get a clarification from the organization from when the period of 30 days starts to be counted, from the English version or from the publication of the translations in the other languages. This is already a line of action, and this is the kind of mechanism that I suggest either for today, if time allows, but time will not allow, or for the continuation of your discussion. Break down all the recommendations in so very specific, very minimal lines of action, and only in this way you can draw a timeline, and only in this way you can see what are the budget implications and the resources implication of the lines of action.
Go ahead, Nick, and then Thomas. Everybody wants to hear you. I've never seen so many microphones thrust at one man in one time before. Go ahead, Nick.
What I would say is this is a little like the ducks serenely on the surface, and then under the surface the feet are going. Often we find an announcement of something that we know will be of interest to you all before a translation is available. And so Matthias or Marie-Hélène or whomever we can actually translates the announcement into Spanish and French and posts it with a note that translations of the underlying texts will be forthcoming. And sometimes we know in advance that the text is forthcoming, and sometimes we know that when we ask for it, we need to go ask for someone else to translate it so that we can make the statement available. But in any case, whether we know in advance because we've been told it will be translated or not, that is the convention that the staff have been informally following, is that whenever the translated version becomes available, there is 30 days from that time for it to be commented on. Though I think everyone accepts this can lead to a bit of confusion, because then you have the same comment period, which is in effect ending on different dates. And the ALAC is then, it is understood, going to respond, if possible, by the latest of the dates available, because it has to operate in all of these languages. So I think everyone sort of understands that, and I'm sure we will actually turn this into something that is a little more procedural and regular.
Thank you. Thomas?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that the Public Participation Committee actually already has this on its agenda of things to look at. And in fact, in the session we had earlier today in this room, we talked a little bit about the whole public comment period. And you know, that there's a number of issues that it has, and I think this plays right into it. So certainly, you know, we understand, and the community understands, that it isn't really appropriate to start a last call, you know, on the English version, and then the last 2 days the translations arrive, and you better read it that day. You know.
We're glad to hear you've heard us. Howie, you had a continuing question, or has that been answered?
Actually, I wanted to advise the committee that the translation be done with resources that are within ALAC, which are available, which might make the translation more easier because they are bilingual and they understand better and it's quicker. And for the community, once the topic is available in English.
That's something that the group can respond to, but I'm sure they heard that. Now I believe that Bertrand, you wanted to speak to that particular point. Not no, right? Well, you're at the end of the queue. Go ahead, Adam.
Going back to this at-large ALAC issue and board members, because it's something that has come up. It came up back to the at-large and ALAC distinguishing matter. And in all of your reports, you've been very careful to use at-large and ALAC. I think it's been, you know, where you've used it has been very thoughtful and accurate. So it was notable that it was an at-large set of board members, or the process would be at-large. And that, as someone from the SIC committee noted yesterday, is sort of contrary to how the supporting organizations would elect board members. And I just wondered why you reached the decision that it would be at-large. So my question is, why did you decide at-large as opposed to ALAC? Because thinking of the thought that went into, you know, precisely using those terms throughout the report and all on all your other recommendations. So that's one question. The other is if you could make a comment about compliance. This is something we have to think about for the future, but what do you mean by compliance? In compliance with what? I have some thoughts on what that is, but it would be good to hear from you what the committee is thinking about in terms of compliance, because we have to plan for this in the future, and it seems rather important.
Harold was very quick to want to respond there. Go ahead, Harold.
On the particular line of compliance, I once founded an ISOC chapter. It worked for at least 3 days, and then it stopped working. Eventually, ISOC has to wake up and figure out it's no longer there. It's no longer fulfilling the requirements for being an ISOC chapter. And so it got removed. Good. So that's what I was thinking when we wrote compliance into the report, that if we have a rule to say what is an ALS, then sooner or later there will be someone who started being an ALS but is no longer an ALS. And then we got to tidy up the books. No bigger deal than that.
And I believe Jean-Jacques is going to reply to the other part of your question. Thank you.
I'm not sure I can speak on behalf of my colleagues on this, but I do remember that in our discussion in the working group, this came up a couple of times, and the feeling is that for such an important decision as seating a member on the board, we have to make sure that we don't put in criteria or artificial criteria which would restrict in some way the choice of the best people. So I remember also that right at the beginning of our exercise, Tricia, I was one of those who had pleaded in favor of an at-large review working group. And I was voted down on the board, to restrict ourselves to ALAC review. But I had a sort of a semblance of vengeance by putting in at large as far as populating the board was concerned. But I think it makes sense because it's not a question of representing one or another constituency. It's getting the best people, especially as far as at large is concerned. We see that there is even some discussion about users, consumers, etc. So we wanted to keep it as wide open as possible. Is that fairly accurate? Thank you.
And just to add before we go to Thomas, the reason that we had to keep the review of the ALAC is because the bylaws, it's a review of the organisation. And just to add... and wanted Jean-Jacques to reply because we discussed this fully. In terms of the board seat, it is the broad at large. And actually, if I could just be a bit provocative, but take it in the right spirit, if ALAC, for example, in a year or two, were not delivering and somehow there's another organisation that picks up... the mantle as the primary organisational home for at large, then actually the two voting seats shouldn't be affected. Mm. So that was the other sort of boring procedural point on it, to say that, because those seats are for at large, whatever grouping, and perhaps the next review when... And that's another topic I don't want to enter into. but the next review may be reviewing what is the appropriate... primary organisational home for at large, mindful that there is competition for that $1.5 billion, probably be $2 or $2.5 billion by then. Mm. So that was the other aspect of it. Thomas?
Yeah, I think you covered most of the points I was going to say. I think the observation we had, and I know that we discussed it in the group, I don't know how widely the consensus was here on this point, was that it probably wouldn't be appropriate to have ALAC solely be in charge of selecting the board members, and it also probably wouldn't be appropriate to have the at-large solely to the exclusion of the ALAC select board members. So we want a mechanism that has sort of checks and balances so that both groups are ultimately happy with the person who's put on the board.
Music to my ears. Thank you so much for those words. Back to you, Carlos, and then I have Bertram, Vanda, Hong, and Izumi.
I just wanted to say express the second part of my question. Could we have this presentation PowerPoint for different presentations? And the answer is yes. Thank you, my friend.
Short and sweet, just how we like it. And what a segue to you, sir.
I know in that respect I have a bad reputation. And I will not. I just wanted to put 2 points. The first thing is regarding how much this issue has been discussed in other environments, and particularly give the testimony that, to my great regret, we never found the time within the GAC to even put that on any agenda at all. And it's not a desire not to address it. It's just the overwhelming workload that we all have. Just as I suppose that you didn't devote probably much time in the ALAC to a thorough discussion of what the evolution of the role of governments could be in the organization, which leads me to one important point. We have currently, concretely on that subject, the traditional public comment periods. I did a quick check as the discussion was evolving. There were 3 public comment period, and altogether, they basically brought 36 comments, sometimes by the same person, which is fine, because it means that it is the people who are committed. It is naturally more distributed among the ALAC members, some from the GNSO and none from the GAC for the obvious reasons that I mentioned, which leads to the final point, that is connected directly to the discussion we just had this morning in the coordination of the different reviews workshop. In such cases, when there is a review process that obviously concerns one actor, but that has huge impact and potential interconnection with the other constituencies, wouldn't it be interesting to have something that brings the different constituencies together to review this? That's for the future. For the current situation, I just want to share what we raised this morning, is that this review, the review of the board, the review of the GNSO and so on, have some interconnected elements, not all of it, but some. And the suggestion that I want to share is that some sort of community panel with the different SOs, ACs, and so on, delegating contact people, could be formed to interface with the SIC group to see whether there is a complete comprehension within the community of all the different reviews. Just to share.
Thank you, Bertrand. I'm absolutely delighted to hear what you've just said. I think in terms of the GAC's awareness, I don't know whether you saw at the beginning this statement that I put up from Waxman's opening written submission. Perhaps we could just flick back while I'm speaking so it's there. But this actually affects everything and everyone. And I think it will be an important point for GAC to at least take note on some of these things. That was a written opening statement by Waxman. And again, if I can be a little provocative, because sometimes I am, I think, for example, as you know, I'm chair of this year's NomCom, and GAC is the only body that actually doesn't provide somebody a non-voting member that it's entitled to. And so I think the engagement of GAC as an integral part of the community on commenting is really important. And speaking for the working group, we actually proactively went out with absolutely everybody in consulting. We were very, 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 very active. And to the extent that Carl Auerbach had lots of individuals, quite provocative people, in getting input, I think for it to go on a GAC agenda as for information and how it affects, because as per the Waxman statement, in terms of reviewing ICANN and how the domain name system affects everybody, I think that's hugely important. So if there's a message you can also take back, that I think finding, you know, the right balance to get that in, and for GAC to be a party on doing that, and I'm probably not being politically correct because I know it will bring a lot of perhaps challenges, and also where there is provision, e.g. in NOMCOM are putting up a non-voting member in there, I think it would actually be a really positive thing as ICANN moves forward to this next era.
We do certainly understand that short of cloning you all, you have to be in multiple places, and we appreciate the time, particularly that the board members have made to be with us today. And I'm very confident that those of you who can wait for another couple of moments of questions will take any feedback back to your group. But you're handing on the baton, so that really shouldn't be the point. Shiva, I've been Skyping you to see whether your point has been covered or whether you still wish to raise a matter. So I'm now going to ask you directly and embarrass you. Do you still have a question to raise or not? Yes or no? Thank you. Okay. In which case, we have Vanda, Hong and Azumi. Sorry?
Maybe worth just Jean-Jacques or...
Yes, okay. If you wanted to?
Yeah?
Okay. So, Vanda?
Okay. Bertrand just said some issues I would like to raise in the strategic point, so I'll skip that. And going back to the more operational point, I'd like to raise some points we have raised yesterday. It's we will certainly need some kind of support to develop a strategic plan, a budget committed, and so on. These kind of things probably should start even before we have the full go-ahead of the board, because it takes time. And once we do not start early, we're going to have face a lot of problems in that. So just to share with the other members of the committee and the board, and that when address this to the board, that maybe we should start in some points like that early than the approval.
Thank you. Trish.
Vanda, rest assured, I think that Marco wants to get this underway straight away. And one of the reasons of Kevin being there was also getting the financial requirements fed in at the same time. So, yes, fast track to start work on that.
Go ahead, Hong.
Thank you. I apologize if what I'm going to talk about is a little overlapping with the issue that we have talked about. We have a little understanding lag. That's because we're a non-English speaker and English is not an official language. I want to go back to the issue of translation. I remember a large community is actually the first community in whole ICANN to provide translation.
French.
I want to save time. Sorry.
Don't save time. We prefer accuracy over speed.
Okay. No
and
problem.
The Spanish and French interpreters
I'm
are
so
having
sorry.
A
I
great
apologize.
Time with you.
Terrific. It's so nice to hear Chinese. what I think said, a large community, I do remember the Nick's great work. He provided translation to a large community. When ICANN as a whole had not such services. This is extremely important to a large community, the individual users. So far, we see the great improvement, especially on translation for Spanish and French. And it's available at public forums as well. That's terrific. we congratulate ICANN on the achievement. On the other hand, we do hope the translation services could be improved, at least for a large community. Would you consider the possibility to translate into other languages? Especially, could you think about a kind of translation rotation policy, especially we are having ICANN meetings in different geographical regions. Now we are having meeting in Sydney, Australia, in Asia-Pacific region, and we can see a very large Chinese, Japanese, Korean community here. It is a little, sad that we don't have language services for those people who are not really fluent to express in English. We do hope next time for ICANN meeting in Seoul, be in a Korean-speaking country, at least we could have some translation services, at least for at-large meetings in that meeting. So for the at-large review community, I hope you could think about more resources investment on this issue. Thank you very much. And sorry for taking your time.
No problem at all. Far too important an issue to ever dare rush, and how would I possibly sit here from Asia-Pacific and not agree with you wholeheartedly? Azumi, may I ask, is your question to the same point? In which case, perhaps if you were asked that, and then Jean-Jacques could respond to both Hong and you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Out of 27 ALSs newly certified since last year, I just counted there. One is from China, one is from Arabic-speaking community. All others are the linguistically translated three language communities. None from Japan, none from Korea yet, and many other non-translated countries from...
We have the paperwork
right,
on the table.
I know. In the pipeline, but not certified yet. Thailand, the Philippines, Malaysia, to name a few. So what's interesting is while those serviced by the translations maybe have better access to, and which is sort of creating imbalance, of course it's not your fault, nobody's fault, but it's just I'm sort of saying a sort of fact. I'm also wondering myself about the compliance thing, and after I stepped down from ALAC, I'm an ALS, and irony is, if I work a lot to create more interest and more sort of, work within Japan, I have to do a lot of translation, or I better speak to the English-speaking reading community in Japan, which has very few, like Adam. And so it's sort of additional overload, which may extract me from doing the policy kind of related work, except I now find it's more comfortable to work on our national level of the IDNCCTLD, which creates a more user's interest directly and interaction amongst the stakeholders in Japan. So instead of just trying to have the at-large kind of people in Japan to assemble, it's more, sort of effective to have a meaningful dialogue within the stakeholders in the country or in the local level and bring some of the issues to Asia and bring other to, or that kind of thing to the global framework. I'm afraid many CCTLDs or the other community, domain name communities do not really have that sort of national level work with a few exceptions. So I think it's also worth to consider to keep the sustainability or so on and so forth. Thank you so much.
The reason I was frantically waving was that we need to move the interpreters from here to the lower room, so we do have a hard stop on things. And Azumi, you were my last listed speaker. Nick is wishing to respond.
I just wanted to note very briefly that last year we began unilaterally translating announcements of and the text of ALAC correspondence, meaning final statements and statements to public consultations, into the six UN languages. I know, and we're in the process of translating the text of the site into the six UN languages. I know that this is not at all good enough, but it's the first step that I could meaningfully take beyond the three working languages that we have now.
There is light at the end of the tunnel. It is not an oncoming train, Jean-Jacques.
Thank you for the warning all the same. Hong, 你刚才提出来的问题是很有意思的。 泉さん、あなたの問題もとてもいいです。But just to point out that actually Nick has replied to your query or your remarks to a large extent. I just add that as a board member, I want to make sure, because it does have implications in terms of personnel, in terms of budget, and merely in terms of efficiency of the whole organization and the whole process. That feels better. To make sure that actually the resources are allocated properly, because there are many, many needs, and some you have underlined are truly there. But for instance, I follow this occasionally with Nick or with Kieran or with others, and I'm struck by the fact that when there is an actual demand for clarity on the part of staff to participants, you know, they occasionally ask people to fill in forms. And one of the questions is, do you consider that translation into this or that language is necessary? And very often the answer is no, we'll carry on in English. So, you know, what you say, Hong, or what you say, Izmi, is perfectly true, but I think that truthfully we must address that question also. And my last point is, you speak about translation, whereas I sometimes think I'm hearing you talking about interpretation, actually. So it's two different things. Translation is in written form, and interpretation is what these ladies and gentlemen are doing for us very validly today in their booths. So if there is not enough request or need for interpretation, maybe we don't need to set up systematically in as many languages interpreters. However, I do agree with you much more that written material in as many languages as are necessary, that is certainly much more of an urgency. Thank you.
And a very tiny word from Thomas.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that the whole translation question is being discussed by the PPC, and like the question of like why this language, not that language, it turns out there are actually answers to that make sense, but they're not visible to the community. I mean, like, we had those questions, we asked, we were surprised, and so forth. So I think one of the important things that has to happen is that the policy that is in place today actually be published so that people understand what it is and understand where it's going and so forth, and then have a more appropriate discussion about it.
I think we can be confident that we will have many more people in the public participation space than the meetings are run next time, because these are very overlapping issues. We do have to have a hard stop. It is impossible for us to operate without the amazing work of the interpreters. Please thank them for the heroic and amazing effort they do, keeping up with us all in so many languages. I know they need to wind up, but that's not going to stop me thanking the review working group for what I think has been an extraordinary experience from a reviewee's perspective. Any final words won't be translated. Thank you.
As time is running short, I must take this opportunity as just one of the members of this working group to say hurrah to Tricia, who led our work. It's more than a study. It was aimed at providing decisions, orientations for more than just the working group. And for this, really, Tricia, thank you so much for your leadership. You kept us on track. You were always conscious of timelines, and you always saw the important things. You brought us back to the fold whenever we strayed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques, and thank you, everyone. And I hope it's going to be useful as you carry on your good work. And as I said when we started off, under Cheryl's leadership, I think ALAC has made huge strides forward. It was a most enjoyable 17 months as well. Thank you.